Welcome to TechNori Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, innovators. For those tuning in for the first time, what is TechNori? Well, put simply, TechNori is where startup companies come to showcase. Since 2010, nearly 300 companies have been featured, and to date, they've gone on to raise more than $260 million in funding. Absolutely incredible. Emil Cambry. Is that how you pronounce the name?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Okay, so you are Blue1647. Are you I know you're the CEO. Are you the founder, or do you have co-founders?
Yeah, I'm the founder as well.
Awesome. So we just talked about this a second ago, about social media and about Donald Trump and the impact of not having a tech focus. I do suspect you guys have some reliance on government funding and things like that. Is that?
Yeah, a small amount. Most of our stuff is earned income for the most part, but at the end of the day, you want to see more opportunities be extended to more people and organizations that deserve it.
So I guess, you know, I've heard your name around the circles in 1871 and just Chicago in general for a while now. And I'm glad to finally have you on the show. It's fantastic what you're doing there. As mentioned in a couple correspondences with you, I would love to get you guys more involved with TechNori and the showcases and things. But what ultimately was the catalyst for you to decide to launch Blue1647?
Yeah, so we found the Blue1647 because we see all the activity that's going on downtown River North area and knew that we needed to have more intentional efforts from a community-based perspective. And I think it's necessary for a couple reasons. One, I think it's the right thing to do. But two, I think we need more opportunities to get more diversity in terms of the conversation of the new ideas and concepts. Because if we're only launching parking apps, we may not be addressing all the possible issues that are truly scary.
I would totally agree. What is, for those who have not heard of it, I guess, why don't you give us kind of a quick summary of what you guys are, what you do, what your mission is, and then how we'll kind of delve a little further into how it's different than some of the other incubators and how it has, in my opinion, could have a major impact on not just Chicago's tech community, but in my research of you and talking to some people in the education area, on an impact you can have with the city's youth, particularly those in school systems?
Yeah, so we're a network of technology and entrepreneurship centers. We're in 8 cities right now, so we're having a lot of growth outside of Chicago. But our goals are really 3 focused. The first one is what we call people development or professional development. It's really about classes, workshops, events, exposing folks to all the different great things that are going on and making sure that they're at the bleeding edge of those things. Everything from Bitcoin seminars, seeing how the blockchain can improve or change your business to being able to take a coding workshop. So our second phase is our workforce development, which is getting people into the whole tech space. So we have a sales software program that has placed a lot of people into jobs, and we also do coding. We're a Department of Labor certified software development shop as well. So we do a lot of getting people jobs and opportunities. The third phase is our our business acceleration, which is getting people to start businesses and moving forward and hopefully hire some people along the way and making sure we address some of the different issues that are present in Chicago and nationally for that matter, and hoping that people can scale their ventures to hire more people.
So in that regard, I think, you know, I don't know if you know, I feel like he said he knew you. Do you know Philip Jackson?
Yes.
Okay, so I just did an interview, and I was a guest on a show with Philip, and he was talking about how he felt one of the areas that he thought you could bring a lot to this community, and I assume if this is true here in Chicago, that every major metropolitan city, this is probably also true, that by bringing in some of the city's youth in particular, and it doesn't necessarily have to be minority, it can be anyone from an area that usually is either not in, you know, not in vocational schools, not in schools that are specifically designed to give you tech and coding skills, but introduce you to this whole ecosystem in a way that all of the other ones, 1871s and things, don't do. 1871, in my opinion, does a fantastic job at what they do, bringing kids in, and particularly college kids in, to see what's going on and have like a hackathon. But in order to do that, those kids already have to be into this. They
Absolutely.
Already have to have had exposure to the point where they know what that even means. And your group has the ability to bring in people who have almost no exposure in this and show them what it's all about and get them interested, get them to start to, for lack of a better term, fall in love with it.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of foster relationships and they come back and become mentors, and it's sort of self-fulfilling. That was his take, and I completely agree with that. That's why one of the reasons I want to have you on here is I felt like you're, you know, obviously you guys are doing great things, but here in Chicago, you're in a position to really take a unique ownership stake that I think is right now is not really all that addressed.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that's the whole purpose, right? Not one organization can cover everything and everybody. And that's kind of what we've been preaching from the start, to say, hey, there's different organizations, different places and different communities that need to be exposed to these opportunities. Because if you're not exposed, how are you going to learn about it? Watching a TV show? Well, you're
hopefully
not
listening to Technology Live.
Yeah, or, you know, if you don't have a chance to it. Well, right now, because being on the show, I can expose our whole community, hey, that this is a possibility. So those things are important because it opens up a whole new base of people that just haven't been addressed, and whether intentional or not. So what we're able to do is say, hey, don't just take a digital literacy class, which is the smallest, easiest, quickest way. Like, why don't we spend that same amount of time to teach you how to code or how to do graphic design or how to incorporate the arts and all the other things that you've already been interested in, and being able to bring it into one space? And then we're going to trick you into doing a hackathon too, and we're going to trick you into going to other places as well. So that's really the purpose that we serve, and we've just been doing it tens of thousands of times. And that's the great thing about it. And a lot of people feel comfortable in our community, and we don't just keep them in our communities. We push them in other places so that they can be successful.
So my questions are going to start to go towards you now. B1647, when did you start this officially?
Yeah, we were founded in late 2013.
Okay. So, yeah, so I mean, that's literally just about early 2013 was when I was really starting to come onto this tech scene in Chicago. Where was the first place that you guys launched at?
Yeah, it's in the Pilsen community. So it's 1647 South Blue Island. Yep. So that's hence the name. And we wanted to think of ourselves as the blueprint of community economic development for the 21st century.
Brilliant.
What is your background in all this to make you, how did you get into this? Because, again, and I say this like every entrepreneur that comes on here and really every guest that comes out, essentially, there's just something that is hardwired in certain people that make them succeed and make them dream of something that's sort of previous to that, not really thought of. How in the hell am I going to go on and open something up in the Pilsen neighborhood and be like, oh, you guys are going to love this, I got this great idea, and then scale it to like 8 cities in a hurry?
Yeah, it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do, and I probably was a little naive in trying to do that in Chicago.
Would you do
as well?
Like, obviously you would do it again, but would you... Do you think if you knew how challenging it was going to be, you would have done it?
I would have been scared. There's just so much that goes into it, because once again, when you talk about community economic development, you have a lot of different parties that you have to appease, and you have a lot of different other bigger parties that you have to convince that you can do what you say you're going to do. And I just think from my background and seeing... you know, having a great team that really cares about this stuff so much. We're a nonprofit organization that behaves like a for-profit institution. We think of scaling impact as just as important as scaling dollars if you're a true for-profit venture. And I think that kind of culture that we have internally makes this thing possible, because otherwise it's impossible to do this any other way.
You know, it's funny. We have the same kind of core values and things, but we operate the exact opposite. But it operates the same, essentially. We are a for-profit, but we operate like we are a nonprofit, in that everything is about driving community and driving, you know, essentially attention. The sponsors and people who make this show possible enable us to promote companies and people and organizations like yourself that maybe before that didn't have that coverage. So we still sort of take on like a nonprofit approach, but obviously it's for profit. What you were talking about, your background, what was your background prior to this?
Born and raised in Chicago, which is really important if you're going to start something like this in Chicago. Went to University of Chicago undergrad, got my MBA at Kellogg, spent some time in banking.
Cats. That's 2 cats in a row today.
Spent some time in banking at JP Morgan Chase, and also worked with now President Obama for a couple years right out of college. And in between that was a professor at North Park University. So education, economic development, but also innovation has been important. And I used to write for Read Write Web and Mashable and a couple other publications back in the early Web 2.0 days. So I've kind of been around.
So it sounds like your resume quite literally is like perfect for this role.
It's
damn close. Because, I mean, you've got the business side of it. You've got the community organizing side. You've got the political understanding and savvy, the writing, the promotional. You got a lot of assets put in this.
It takes a lot. I mean, and most people think you just, you know, open up a building and turn on the Wi-Fi and people start showing up. But it's much more involved than that. And it's a lot of relationships and being able to leverage.
People show up, just not the right people.
Yeah.
It's not the people you want showing up.
Yeah.
There's pizzas and all kinds of beers showing up. And then it turns into a party, which isn't bad. But the next day it starts. Become a problem. What is going to be the next city, the next thing you guys are working on?
We just recently closed in a couple of different cities recently, like Milwaukee, Cincinnati.
Where are you guys out in Milwaukee? Where are you?
Yeah, so we're part of what's the Tech Hire Initiative out there, which is a White House initiative.
Yeah.
And we're, what's the name of the center? But there's
Ward 4?
Yeah, there's a...
The Commons, Ward 4.
I just got there from yesterday, and I should know that. But
Were you there for Startup Milwaukee? I feel like there was. I don't know if I saw your name on the list. We did a Technori there at Ward 4.
Okay.
In Milwaukee, and it was part of the Commons and Startup Milwaukee, and the Generator was all kind of a big thing to try to, you know, jack up the tech community in Milwaukee. So I think they're onto something. I think there's a lot of potential there. And I think it's, if you were not more active there, obviously, I think it's a great place to be.
Yeah, it's a great start for us, and I was just there yesterday to finally get the confirmation on that we're moving forward. But the great thing is a lot of these cities are doing a lot to really bolster their technology community, and especially using the surrounding areas and the workforce development opportunities as a true catalyst for economic development. So we're just happy to be part of those conversations now. And we probably have 25 cities that want us, but, you know, I'm only so scalable. And we're trying to do things internally now to make everything we do a little bit more plug and play. So it's less me and more automation.
I was about to tune out, but I had one question, I guess, that just sort of popped up. I mean, this is a question that's kind of for me, but it's also, I think, for a lot of people in the community. With regard to your entrepreneurial side, how do you scale you?
You can't scale you, but there's software and there's tools that you can use to just make what you're doing a little bit less relevant as far as the physical aspect of it all. So one of those things for us is scaling our educational platform. So in January, we're launching our own kind of Codecademy type of platform that allows us to do more train-the-trainer kind of stuff and also allow folks to be able to adopt our curriculum and our platform and use it in the classroom setting. So I don't necessarily need to be there to get up and running at the beginning, that they can just use that as a tool to get going, and it has a built-in IDE and everything else. So it's great that you can check the work and do a lot more that allows us to scale.
So from an overview standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, do you look at it more like you're bringing in, you know, you're coming up with these ideas and helping, obviously other people are helping come up with these things, and you're coming up and helping them establish an execution plan, and then it goes into play, other people carry it out, and then you can sort of step back, use software to review and keep an eye on analytics and things, and essentially it's still got your flavor and your oversight, but other people can kind of drive them, because I feel like that's where we are too at Technori. One of our main things is we're trying to scale, and it ultimately becomes, do you start 5 different initiatives and just let other people run them? That's a challenge, because you might lose your identity in it, versus do you start something and try to build it straight up and then branch it out and just sort of oversee things?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, because we started to see what is our biggest value initially that we can bring to the table. And one of those is being able to have this curriculum piece that people can plug into that is connected with all of our other stuff. So that's, you know, we just found where we're most valuable, and then we found where we're least valuable, and hopefully find somewhere to meet in between.
Well, I think they're going to find lots of value. I'm very happy to have you have joined us. Where do people go to learn more about and get more involved with Blue 1647?
Yeah, you can go to blue1647.com. Blue1647 are all our social media handles. And once again, we promote a lot. So you'll see everything from short films to documentaries to just promo pieces showing the work that we do.
Awesome. Thank you, Emile. Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You can stream this episode and more on technori.com. You can stay up to date with our Technori news feed and other Tech Bites by following us on Facebook and Twitter @Technori, or follow me @Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.